The primary purpose of the Holy Spirit is to show me the glory of Jesus in Scripture and to make me like that. One without the other, I'd be discouraged. So praise the Lord for that. Never lose sight of it. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Does that mean that He's only going to make me like Christ in character? No. In character plus ministry. Jesus lived a pure, godly, loving life for 33 and a half years. But in those 33 and a half years, He had 3.5 years of powerful ministry, of blessing people, showing them God's way, leading them into God's paths. And that ministry, which is accomplished in the physical body of Christ, is now to be accomplished in the spiritual body of Christ, which is you and I. Before the day of Pentecost, Jesus had only one body. That's His physical body with which He came to earth and which He still has in heaven. But on the day of Pentecost, He got another body, which is called the body of Christ. The spiritual body, 120 people there were baptized into the Holy Spirit, and it's like 120 pieces of iron put into the furnace and all becoming one. That's what happened through the power of the Holy Spirit. And through the centuries, 20 centuries, God has had this witness, groups of people, not just individual Christians roaming around the earth, but groups of people who come together in the power of the Holy Spirit and together reflecting Christ. That's why we believe in local churches. That's why I believe in local churches like this, where we are a family, not just a congregation that comes to listen to a message and go home, but where we are committed to one another as a family. And very often people ask me this question, which church should I join? I said, I think you should join a church which has the same destination that God has for His people. I mean, if I get into a bus, there's so many buses going, not so many here. In India, we're full, where there's not so much private transport. A lot of public transport. All the time we see buses on the road with different numbers going to different places. And if I go to a bus station, I want to catch a bus, first of all, determining whether it's going to my destination. There's a lot of, I don't take the prettiest bus there or the biggest one. I take the one that's going to my destination. I say, hey, I don't care if it's a small bus. I want to get to my destination. It's not the comfort in the bus that I'm thinking of. That's a short period. But is it going to take me to my destination? So I say, the church you must join is a church that's going to lead you to the destination. I mean, if you don't care about your destination, then get into any bus. And you just wander around and waste your life. I don't want to do that. I've got a destination to go to. And so I want to be a part of a church that's helping me to get to that destination, where the preaching of the word is directing me to that destination, helps me to get there quicker. Not goes wandering down all the side streets here and there, but going straight towards my destination. That's the way I decided to decide. I say, I want to be a part of a church which is helping me to go to my destination. That destination is to become like Jesus Christ in my life and my ministry. It's not just life. You know, some people say, hey, you guys are just sitting and trying to purify yourself all the time. Become like Christ. Yes, you don't do anything for others. I say we do a lot for others. I mean, in our own ministry in India in the last 40 years, we've helped numerous poor people financially who are in need. That's part of the ministry of Christ. Delivered numerous demon-possessed people from demons. That's part of the ministry of Christ. Prayed for the sick. Some are healed and some are not healed. Just like that in the early days, Paul prayed for Timothy. He was not healed of his stomach problems. Paul himself was not healed of his thorn in the flesh. But many others were healed, miraculously. Healing is not as universal as forgiveness of sins. But it's one of the ministries. So we believe that becoming like Christ is not just in character, but also that God equips us with gifts to serve others, to bless them and to lead them to this likeness to Christ. So, this is also described in 1 John chapter 3. If you turn to 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3 we read, in verse 2, at present we are the children of God. That we already are, because Christ has come into our heart, the Holy Spirit has witnessed to us that we are God's children. But, it has not yet appeared what we're going to be like. What are we going to be like? He says, that hasn't come to fruition. When Christ appears, we will be like Him. We would have reached our destination. So there is a day coming when Christ will come in the air and we'd have reached our destination, which is not heaven, but to become like Christ. And then it says, how do I know whether I have this hope in me or not? Every Christian will say, I've got the hope of the second coming of Christ. Hang on. It says here, if you really have this hope, here is the proof that it's not just empty words. Anybody can say empty words. 1 John 3:3, you will purify yourself just as He is pure. 1 John 3:3. That is the proof that you have the hope of the second coming of Christ, that you'll be like Him when He comes. Not just empty words, but you will be purifying yourself until you reach His standard of purity. Have you reached His standard of purity? No, I haven't. So believe me when I say this, I seek to cleanse myself every single day. Because I haven't reached my destination. I'm on the way. And as God shows me areas of my life, usually my inner life, which are not Christ-like, attitudes, thoughts, motives. See, when we come to Christ and we pursue this path I've been just describing, initially our external life gets tidied up. We give up bad habits and things that spoil our testimony externally. But we don't stop there because we see so many areas in our inner life which are not Christ-like, and we, like the Bible says, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And I haven't got there yet. But I thank God that as I look at my life today, I see areas in my inner life where I'm better than I was a year ago. I hope you can say that. Then you know you're on the right path. That means you're getting light on areas of your inner life which are not Christ-like. Because you see something in Jesus, the Holy Spirit shows you, and you say, hey, I'm not like that. But I want to be like that. You purify yourself as He is pure until the day He comes. This is the mark of a person who's walking that narrow way that leads to eternal life. So, I'm thankful that I'm in a church where every Sunday we are urged to press on to this goal. So, there are, when you read the Gospels, there are many places where you see the attitude Jesus had. I just want to show you one of those examples before we close. You turn to John's Gospel, chapter 8. You know, in a small passage like this, we can see many examples of the Holy Spirit showing us what Jesus was like. We read here, first of all, that Jesus had finished preaching a powerful message in John chapter 7. That's the place where He raised His voice, John 7:37, and said, if anyone is thirsty, come to Me, and from his innermost being rivers of living water will flow, where He spoke about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now this is in Jerusalem, and Jesus' home was in Capernaum, which is 70 miles away at least, or more, 70 to 100 miles, and He walked all the way down to Jerusalem where the temple was, and He preached this message. And this is something that struck me. In John 7:53, the last verse, it says, everyone went to his own home. The day was over. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And I've often thought about that. You know, John 8:1 is, these chapter divisions are made by man. Read it together. Everyone went to his own home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. What I see there is something tragic. Nobody invited Jesus to come and stay with him. Imagine a preacher who's come from out of town, preach you the whole day, and then you don't find out where he's staying the night. But he has to sleep out in the open. That's what, I mean, Jesus had no complaint that, hey, nobody invited me to stay in his house. Fine, I'll go and sleep under the trees in the Mount of Olives. I learned something from that, just from that little passage, that Jesus lived without any making any demands on others. He didn't expect, because I've served you, you must serve me in some way. No. I said, Lord, I want to be like that. That's just one example of how I can purify myself as He is pure. To make no demands on others, even if I poured out my life serving them, fine. If they acted in an inconsiderate way, that's fine. No complaint. I'm not going to go sleep under the trees and complain and grumble over that. That'll be terrible. I'm happy. It's okay if somebody didn't think of my need.